Hello, Director Robert here with a content note before we get started. This week's episode of Hot Mic contains discussion which may spoil the magic of Christmas for younger listeners. For that reason, listener discretion is advised. With that, here's this week's episode of Hot Mic.
LEX 18 presents a podcast with hot takes, hot topics, with your hosts, Megan Mannering and Evelyn Schultz. This is Hot Mic.
Welcome back to another episode of Hot Mic here at LEX 18. I'm Evelyn Schultz alongside Megan Mannering.
This is our last episode of the year.
Hard to believe.
How do you feel about that?
It's bittersweet.
It is bittersweet.
This was one of my favorite things that I did this year.
Me too.
Was launch Hot Mic with you.
This was a highlight of the year.
Me too.
And I think to round out the year, we had to have a really special guest.
We did.
A really special. And actually, when we made our list of who we wanted to interview, this person was at the top of the list. He's a little nervous, so we need to give him a warm welcome.
Yeah, we do.
A voice synonymous with Lexington, Jack Patty.
Top of the list.
Welcome, you were right at the top.
You guys are as full of it as the Christmas goose. Come on. Somebody that you really wanted couldn't come.
You were at least top 20.
Oh, okay. So, good. Well, if I made the top 20.
Yeah. You were up there.
I love this.
You do?
It's my first podcast, but I'm a big fan of both of you. And so I'm a little bit nervous because Evie and I have known each other since she's been here.
We have, yes. Mm-hmm.
But back when she was just a reporter sleeping in her car, do you realize that Evie slept in her car?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I still do.
You do?
After the show, the Sunrise Show, I go out and I take naps in my car sometimes.
Yeah. Wow. Well, she used to do a lot of reporting for me on the radio.
Oh, okay.
And I would call her and I wouldn't get an answer. And she'd call back in about 30 minutes and I was sleeping in the car. And I'm everybody's grandfather, and I said, don't sleep in the car, Evie.
I know, it's a bad habit, but it is really cozy.
But I'm a fan of yours, too.
Well, thank you.
I watch you every night, and I can actually hear you. I watch Evie every morning, and I have to read her lips because she's on while my radio show's on.
Yeah, right.
And
I
we have to turn it down.
Totally.
So, but I've gotten pretty good at it. Say something.
Silently?
That where I can't hear.
Okay,
what's the wombat? No, I'm not good at it.
That was I said welcome to Hot Mic.
Oh, thanks.
What's the wombat? I could see how that could be.
That's what it looked like to me.
Yeah. Well,
but anyway, you guys do a great job. I've known Bill Mack longer than any of us want to admit, and
we got to talk about Bill Mack.
My mother actually did a television program once a week for 25 years.
Really?
At Channel 18. And
no
so
way.
When I was a little kid, I'm 73 years old. When I was a little kid, I would go with her in the old building.
Mm.
Now, I'm not talking, you know what I'm talking about? The old building that's been way gone before you guys.
I've seen photos of the old building.
Well, it was tiny.
Yeah.
And then they added a side onto it, which made it a little less than tiny.
Mm-hmm.
But it was in that old tiny building. And I would go with her and watch her tape the show.
What was her show?
It was called Leisure. And it was back in the days before they changed all the rules about you have to, devote so much of your time to community affairs, public affairs. So they would have shows. There were two of them, actually. And they would have shows that covered that essential part of the FCC rule. And my mom worked for the recreation department, so they gave her 30 minutes every week. She got to know everybody here. I got to know everybody here. And I kind of grew up at Channel 18.
Wow. You probably know more about LEX 18 than we do.
I might, but I sure know a lot more than you do about the old days.
Well, we're going to get into the old days.
You weren't born yet. And Evie told me before we went on the air, and she almost slipped. She said, how old are you, if you don't mind my asking? And I said, 73. And she said, you may be the wisest person that we okay.
We try not to offend our guests from the jump.
Well, I didn't walk out.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
Well, thank goodness.
I feel like you're someone who can take a little bit of kind of a jokester.
Yeah.
You have to be.
Yeah, but I love the whole concept. It was your concept, right?
Well, this is all Evie.
I don't want to take all the credit, but I sort of had this you know, kind of crazy idea to do a podcast. And so here we are.
And I understand it's caught on, that it's really, really popular.
He's so nice.
I'm very serious.
You don't have to gas us up just because you know.
Well, nobody really watches it, but no. No, really, actually, I have heard that it's
very popular. Well, thank you. We are honored by the people who have told us that they've listened.
You've
and
had
tuned
cool
in.
People, too. You had cool guests.
We've been lucky that people have agreed to come do
just
it.
Thank you. Yeah. And you can relate. I mean, anytime someone says, oh, I listen to you, or I watch you every day, or I listen to you every morning, or I listen to your podcast, it means a lot.
It does mean a lot. And you two girls from, I know you're not from Montana, but who came from Montana, what are the odds?
I know,
right?
Hoosiers, Montana.
Oh, you're Hoosier too.
Yeah,
the
Indiana, Montana, Lexington pipeline.
But you guys never knew each other until.
We do have mutual friends though.
Yeah,
you do in the business.
No, from someone she grew up with. I went to college with. So
no kidding.
Yeah. Kind of weird, right?
No, it is. It's unusual.
It is. But Jack, we want to talk about you. I heard on the radio this morning.
He didn't want to answer questions.
You don't think you're a good interviewee, but I just don't think that's true.
Well, I told you that after 10 minutes I'm making it up because I think I can tell you everything I know in 10 minutes. Well, but I'll stretch it out.
We can do fake news on the podcast, just not on the air.
That's right.
All right, let's start from the beginning. You are a Lexington boy through and through.
Yep.
Tell us what it was like growing up here in Lexington.
It was really cool. It was a very small town. Main Street was two-way, if you can imagine that.
Wow.
Two-way traffic on Main Street. Everybody went downtown to shop, just like in the Christmas Story. I mean, it really, there was a two or three really big department stores down on Main Street that looked just like the Christmas Story.
Aww.
That had windows decorated. Mm-hmm. There was a store called Myers. And a guy, his first name was Elliot. I'll think of his last name probably next Tuesday. But he was, he had a job as a window decorator. That was a specialty.
That's a fun job.
That you could go learn. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's, you know, you see, you know what I'm talking about with the nose up against the glass and all these kids looking. That takes a lot of expertise.
Yeah.
To do that. And so that's what downtown Lexington was. I never was any good at it, but I took trumpet lessons. I would get off the school bus, go get my trumpet, get on the city bus, take it downtown. Shackleton's was the name of the store. It was on the second floor. Take my trumpet lesson, come back, wait for the bus, and come home. And I could do that safely. Unfortunately, kids today can't.
It's very different nowadays.
And I'm very sorry. Yeah, and I'm very sorry about that. The kids can, you know, people are always talking about kids need to go outside. They need to go play outside. Well, unless you're supervising them. It could be really dangerous, you know, these days.
It must have fostered a lot of independence in you, though, to be able to do that, kind of go around Lexington.
It probably did, but I didn't know it because everybody did it.
Yeah, you all were doing
everybody
that.
Everybody did it, yeah.
Totally. Where'd you go to high school?
This is maybe the only sort of interesting story I've got for you. So I'll stretch it out to 19 minutes. I went to Bryan Station because I grew up in the north end of town. So I went to Yates Elementary and Bryan Station, what was then called Junior High, if you can imagine. It was 7, 8, 9, and then 10, 11, and 12 was high school. But anyway, I went through Junior High, and then in my sophomore year, went to Bryan Station High School, played in the band.
The trumpet?
Well, played trumpet, then the guy got volunteered to the sousaphone.
Sousaphone.
That's the big thing it wraps around you.
Wow.
That is a babe magnet.
Now,
I mean, think about it. Back when you were in school, wasn't the big fat guy that played the sousaphone? I mean, wasn't he the one you were interested in?
Yeah.
Okay, come on, Megan. I know you were.
Well, she was in the band as
What'd you play?
So.
Alto saxophone. First chair.
No kidding. My wife's a saxophone player.
Really?
So, yeah. Yeah, nice. I want to tell her about that. She'll be watching.
Maybe we can link up and play. Yeah. And get our woodwinds together.
That would be so cool. She plays flute too.
Meet up. Really? Wow.
And piano and organ and everything else, and guitar. Well, but
let's get her on the podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, my mother told me after my sophomore year of high school, we're moving to the south end of town, and you're going to have to change schools.
Oh, no.
That's a tough time in high school to switch.
No kidding. And I had to move to a school where I knew one person in the whole school. And I said I wasn't going to do it. And she said, yeah, you are. And I said, no, I'm not. And she said, how are you going to get? I said, I'm just going to go to Bryan Station. She said, how are you going to get there? I said, I'm going to walk. Well, that didn't last even a day. I think I got up to the corner and went, no. Here's the interesting part. And this is, I'm very serious about this. It was the best thing that ever happened to me, changing schools, because I had a student teacher in a speech and drama class who was in the business here. Mm-hmm. He was on WBLG radio, which is 1300, still on the air, and WBLG television, channel 62, which isn't on the air, but it eventually became 36.
Okay.
And he asked, like, the first week of school, anybody in this class interested in radio as a career? Well, I had been since I was a little kid. Mm-hmm. Two of us raised our hands. He said, well, I'm going to beg, borrow, and steal some equipment. I'm going to find a closet in this school where we can set up, and I'm going to teach you and this other guy radio. And then when you're ready, I'm going to get you your first job.
Wow.
I mean, was that like a dream come true? Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was fate.
And so, yeah. And so Christmas of that year of my junior year, he came to me and he said, you're ready. I'm going to take you next Monday. We're going to skip school, which I thought was so cool.
Oh, yeah.
Skipping school with the teacher. Uh-huh. He smoked in my car.
No way.
Yeah.
Actually?
I'm skipping school with a teacher who's smoking in my car.
Different time.
That was a different time.
And we went to Georgetown, Kentucky, where there was a little 1580 was the frequency radio station. And I think it's still on the air. Ironworks Pike. And I got to meet the general manager of the radio station. I didn't have any kind of like demo tape. Mm-hmm. Because the only thing I'd ever done is what we would do in our little radio station is broadcast over the cafeteria at lunch.
Okay.
And take
okay.
requests
yeah.
and stuff. Yeah. So anyway, I didn't have a tape. And they introduced me to the guy who was on the air. And they said, Jack's going to take over for a few minutes. And they all walked out.
How are you feeling in that moment?
Oh, if you had never been in water before over your head and were thrown into the deep end, just like that.
Wow.
And I, you know, I would love to have a tape of that because I'm sure it was the worst thing in history. But the guy was kind enough. He told me later, you know, you wouldn't have gotten in the door if it hadn't been for your teacher, which made me feel better.
Yeah.
I said, yeah, I know that. But they gave me a job Sunday mornings.
Wow.
And that turned into a Saturday and Sunday. Mm-hmm. And by the time I was a senior, I was working 7 days a week. I'm sure child labor laws were being broken.
Oh, for sure.
And I think I made $3 an hour or something. Probably not even
Holy
that.
Cow.
But I was in love with the industry.
Right from the get-go.
From the get-go. And country is so great now. It wasn't cool in 1968.
Mm-hmm.
And I was not... I love the business. I love being on the air. But I didn't tell anybody that I knew that I was on because I was kind of embarrassed about it.
Really?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And I feel bad about that now because I love country music.
Yeah.
And I also learned about old country artists like the Possum, George Jones, and Loretta Lynn, and Tammy Wynette. And
who's your favorite of all time?
Well, Tammy Wynette called... The first Saturday I ever worked, and I was actually doing a show playing records, and it was Christmas time, and this is what country artists did back then. I don't know if they still do, but they call radio stations and obviously expect to be put on the air.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, Tammy Wynette had a big hit called Stand By Your Man.
Stand By Your Man. It's in Sleepless in Seattle on that song.
That's right. That's
great
right.
Song.
And so anyway, she was big deal. Yeah. And I answered the phone, WAXU, and she said, she knew my name. She said, Jack? And I said, yes. She said, this is Tammy Wynette calling from Nashville. And I said, well, how are you? This was all off the air.
Yeah.
And she said, I'm doing great. I just had a minute, and I wanted to call and wish you and all your listeners a Merry Christmas. And I said, that is so thoughtful. Thank you. And Merry Christmas to you. And hung the phone up. Well, 30 minutes later, my boss walks in. I said, you're never going to believe this, but Tammy Wynette called me and wished me a Merry Christmas. And he said, did you put her on the air? And I went, was I supposed to? Actually, I don't think I would have known how anyway.
Yeah. To route
yeah,
her.
To route her.
Did you ever get her on the air eventually?
No.
You missed your chance.
Not one chance.
Did you relay the message to your listeners?
I don't think I even did that.
That's okay. Just something you kept to yourself. Yeah. Just
but
a
now,
sweet little memory.
Now everybody knows it.
Absolutely.
Thanks to Hot Chick. I mean,
Hot Chicks.
Hot Chick. Excuse me.
That's our new name.
That's yeah. When we record the podcast after hours.
Yeah, exactly. Our evening
you said
version.
That you knew from the time you were a kid that you were interested in radio. Why was that?
When I must have been 5 or 6 years old, and that's back when they advertised cigarettes on TV.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a cigarette commercial. It must not have been that effective because it didn't make me smoke at that time, but it was either Camel or Lucky mm-hmm. Strikes, little tiny no filter that people smoked back then, mm-hmm. but it was a disc jockey, and he was kind of sitting in the dark with like a light over his head, real cool lighting. Turntables back then, record players, turntables, mm-hmm. were literally that big. He had a microphone that as big as his head. And he was sitting there smoking and on the radio. And I remember thinking, that's what I want to do.
That's going to be me one day.
Yeah.
So wow.
I started smoking.
Hoping that was the key.
Didn't, and it didn't get me in the business.
The gateway drug to radio.
It's a gateway drug.
Were you also a little bit inspired by your mom working at the station?
Right here at this. Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. I was. And then when I got older... 15, 16, when she couldn't do the show, mm-hmm. I used to do the show.
Oh. They trusted you to do that.
So, yeah.
That
so, I
so
may
funny.
Have been the youngest, now the oldest. I saw, could, uh-huh. may have been the youngest on the air
again,
doing
child,
a regular show.
Child sure. labor laws were,
exactly.
were different
definitely.
At that
yeah.
point.
Okay, so you said you were kind of like a little fish in a big pond that first time they threw you in.
Yeah,
but
no
eventually, it must have clicked. And once it did, once you got more comfortable with radio, what did you start loving about it?
Well, I love, of course, you love the attention.
Yeah.
Who
anybody,
doesn't?
Anybody, yeah. yeah, really. I mean, seriously, anybody in our business has an ego.
You're a little bit of an entertainer.
No, I'm a big time entertainer.
Lot of bit of an entertainer. And anyone, yeah.
And you're confident.
What do you
right?
mean a little bit of an entertainer? No, I'm just teasing. I am an entertainer. I am not a journalist.
Mm-hmm.
I don't pretend to be.
Yeah. As evidenced by your Facebook posts.
Yeah, right. All you got to do is read what I write. You'll know I'm not a journalist. But I decided that I went to Florida with a friend who was working at WVLK.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to Daytona Beach. And I thought, I was 18 years old. Mm-hmm. And I thought, this is where I need to be.
Mm.
Playing the guitar on the beach, you know, and the girls gathered around like Elvis Presley movie.
You were past the sousaphone at that point?
Oh, yeah. Sousaphone was way in the
You
in
retired
the
that. Okay.
But anyway, I thought that would be a cool thing. So I got a job in Florida as a result of a trip down there. And I was literally 18.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I wasn't going to go to college. I wasn't college material, as evidence if you've ever listened to me. And so I went down there and... all of a sudden, I got a job before I went, but all of a sudden it dawned on me, heck, if you're living in Florida, you got to go to work. And I mm-hmm. had this cool little cheap apartment right off the beach. Never saw the beach.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And so the working part took a lot of the fun out, mm-hmm. but I really liked it down there.
How long were you down there?
3 years.
Okay.
And met my first wife there. Didn't like her parents, and they didn't like me, and so we... moved back to Kentucky.
Okay, you escaped
north
for the best.
I didn't say that on the air. But yeah, so that was. But yeah, I came to work at WVLK 50 years ago, which is hard for me to believe, in 1975. And was doing more afternoons, actually, my first shift. And then the morning guy left. And they asked if I would like to do that. And I don't know how it is in TV. In radio, the morning position was always kind of the primo position. Mm. They say it's not as much anymore.
Really?
With the way people listen,
mm-hmm.
their habits. You know, we have podcasts of our shows. Now people listen to what they want to listen to whenever they want to.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time, if you wanted to listen to me, for example, you had to listen in the morning.
On your way to work.
On your way to work or whatever, yeah. And now, you know, I mean, we did the school closing report.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, is that as antique as you can think? That
you're kind of nothing closed? More exciting as a kid, though, to be turning on the radio to and see, you're waiting.
To see if your school was closed. Didn't you love that guy when he said, no school today?
That guy was a god.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Do you ever hear from people who are adults now who say, I listened to you when I was a kid, or I remember?
All the time. Yeah. And in my side hustle, which I know we're going to talk about a little bit.
We are.
I got a kid just last night. I say kid, grown up now. Uh-huh. That said, you are her favorite DJ. Whispered to me,
aww,
her kid, and she said, "You are her favorite DJ." And I said, "She doesn't care anything about me. I'm your favorite DJ, and she's forced to listen."
Yeah,
but anyway, it's really nice recognition. You can't say too much for that.
Absolutely.
But you got to be real careful and not let that
go to your head.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. Yeah. All right. Over the years, I'm sure you've had Tammy Wynette. That was an exciting call. Mm-hmm. Are there any other calls, any other callers that come to mind that you've taken on the radio?
I can tell you my favorite guest that I ever had, and all this stuff happened before you guys were born. But without any question, there was a man named Malcolm Kilduff.
Mm-hmm.
And you can fact check me on this. And he was from
Where's
Kentucky.
Our fact checker?
Yeah, really.
Robert?
Hey, Robert, will you fact check me on this? Malcolm Kilduff. He was the assistant press secretary to President Kennedy.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, a big deal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was always fascinated about the assassination because I was born in 52 and that was 63. So I was 11 and very impressionable. And so as a talk show host, I did a bunch of shows with people that wrote books on the subject, and somebody called me and said, "Why don't you get Malcolm Kilduff?" And I said, "Who is he?" Long story short, he was Kennedy's assistant press secretary. A guy named Pierre Salinger was the press secretary who decided for some reason to not go to Dallas to make the Dallas trip.
Wow.
And the guy from Kentucky was two cars behind Kennedy's limousine.
Wow.
And a fascinating guy. Well, his responsibility was to announce to the nation that the president had been killed. So he said, he still gives me chills. He said, "I was in the room where they were working on the president. Mrs. Kennedy and Vice President Johnson and his wife were in an adjoining room, but I had to stay with the president when they called in the priest to give him last rites, and I watched him die."
Oh, wow.
He said, "Then my job was to not tell Mrs. Kennedy she'd lost her husband, but to tell Vice President Johnson he was now President of the United States."
Wow.
So he said, "I walked in the room," and he said, "I didn't know how to address him because," he said, "I didn't know him well enough to call him Lyndon." So he said, "I just walked in the room and I said, 'Mr. President.'" And he said, "Jackie Kennedy, you know, then knew." And I said, "God, that's the most
terrible."
Yeah. And he was, I know you all have seen the picture because it's really famous on the airplane coming back from Dallas where they're swearing in Johnson. He's in that picture.
Wow.
And you got to talk to him.
I got him every November 22nd or 3rd, whenever the date is, every year.
Wow.
I think until he passed away.
Yeah.
Because he was like my favorite guest. And we talked about the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. I never got tired of hearing that story.
Well, it's a story that doesn't get old.
No.
And you think of the weight of that moment.
It's history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you reach a new group of people every time he tells it, because there are probably, presumably, others listening.
And my favorite fun guest was Leslie Nielsen.
I thought you were going to say it was me.
Oh, well, and Evie.
The way that you reached out, I thought you... Yeah. I'm just kidding. I would never expect
Evelyn
to be your...
Evelyn Schultz was my favorite.
No, I would never expect to be your favorite fun guest, but...
But Leslie Nielsen, you know, Naked Gun, et cetera, played in a golf tournament here every year. And it was a fundraiser for the Children's Charities. And I was lucky enough, I was a fan of his. See, he did straight... Most of those guys from those movies were straight actors. They didn't do comedy, which made it even funnier.
Right.
But I was a fan of his being a cop and a bad guy sometimes from growing up watching TV. So I was real excited the day that I was told that he was going to come up to the station. Well, I don't know if we can say fart on the air, but I just did.
You can. Yeah, I think that's okay.
He had a fart machine that he carried in the palm of his hand, and I didn't know about it.
Gosh.
And he came up with like four guys.
Uh-huh.
We were in a break, and we sat down just like you and I, mm-hmm. the three of us did. And I'm just saying we're going to come out of here. And he started using this thing. And he's very convincingly. And I thought, that's pretty different. And it was loud.
Were you trying to
ignore it.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the guys that were with him, straight-faced. And I thought, he's got a problem. And I thought, when we get on the air, if he does that, you're going to be able to hear it.
Yeah.
Well, we did about a 20-minute segment.
Uh-huh.
Not a thing. As soon as I turned the mic off, a big one.
Wow.
And I kind of fell apart, and the guys behind him fell apart, and then he fell apart. And then I realized I'd just been had. Well, about a week after that, I was watching, this is how long ago it was, Johnny Carson. Mm-hmm. And he had Leslie Nielsen as a guest. And Johnny said to Nielsen, did you bring your little friend? And Nielsen said, not tonight. And Johnny said, good. And I knew exactly.
So you were like in. I was like in. An inside joke. That had to have felt pretty good.
And he was on with one of the more current guys, Conan or somebody, and actually put it up on his desk.
So he loved that thing.
He loved that thing. He did it with strangers. He'd do it sitting next to somebody in an airplane.
That's hilarious.
And on his tombstone, I'm not making this up, fact check me, Leslie Nielsen, date of birth, date of death, quotes, let her rip.
No way.
Yeah.
That's
what the heck? That's,
you have to say. I mean, that's it, just the one thing that, like, that humor doesn't age.
Yeah,
no.
It's
always funny.
Classic.
It's so funny.
Wow.
Why do we laugh at that?
I don't know. Because we're not supposed to.
We're
I
not
think
supposed
so.
To.
Yeah.
Well, you've had some pretty incredible guests and callers, you know, which makes me think I had a radio show once upon a time.
At college?
DePaul University.
Will you tell me about
91.5, your sound alternative.
Ooh, wow.
Would you hire her?
I would hire you in a minute.
4 to 6 a.m. Sunday mornings. And the only caller that I ever got was Dale from the Putnam County Prison. How about that? How about that?
Was he nice?
That's hilarious.
He was delightful.
Yeah, that's cool.
And they tell you, you've got a call from the Putnam.
Yep.
I don't get it. You had to say okay.
Through.
What did he say?
He always wanted to request the same song from some group called the XXX.
That is what they're called, the XXX?
Apparently.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hmm.
I'd like to think he just wanted to,
I think he wanted
hear
to
a
talk
woman's
to
voice.
You.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, those people are lonely. I guess they are.
Yeah,
I've actually not spent any time in prison.
Really?
Just so you know.
Thanks for clearing that.
I also have not.
Have you ever done radio?
No, only on your show.
Okay.
I guess
okay.
not. I've never been the host.
Never been on the air.
And you know,
as
I was
a host.
Yeah, not the host. I will say I'm in between two radio legends. I have always
I'll take that.
I've always really admired radio hosts because I think when you're on broadcast TV. You have your face, right? You have video. There's a lot that you can use to tell the story, to draw people in. And with radio, you really just have your voice and songs or, you know, whatever you're airing. Mm-hmm. And so it's impressive to me how you all use your voices to
command the audience.
Yes,
yeah.
Seriously.
Well, you know, you're right about that. The golden age of radio they talk about was not when I got in it. It was before I got in it, before my time, more in my mother's age time. And that was before TV.
Yeah.
And people, as you see in, again, the Christmas story, would gather around their radio just like people now gather around their television.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And listen to dramas. And, if you've seen them, like maybe you're recreated where they had a sound effects person that did nothing but the sound effects and all that kind of stuff. And I think that was really the golden age.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then TV came in. You know, technology, the newest technology is always, it's going to put everybody out of business.
Yeah.
Now we're talking AI.
Mm-hmm.
AI is going to kill us.
Right.
No, it didn't.
Yeah.
You know, when the internet came, internet's going to be the end of no, it isn't. There's good things about all of it, and there's bad things about all of it. But I really remember, and this is going to make me sound like I'm 1,000 years old, remember listening to a boxing match between Floyd Patterson, who was the heavyweight champion of the world, and Ingemar Johansson.
Oh, my.
Yeah. I don't know these people.
I cannot tell you what I had for lunch yesterday because I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I can remember Ingemar Johansson, and it was a professional, like, 10 or 12-round fight. And I couldn't – I was so fascinated by it. And because all you had, like you said, they were recreating this boxing thing on the radio and was doing a remarkable job. And Floyd Patterson won.
Well, there you
maintained
go.
Maintained his big old belt, you know.
Sure. But you have to visualize
belt.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, when you're in that. I'm curious, 50 years at WVLK, how has, I mean, you're touching on it now, but how has radio changed over time?
Oh, it's like completely changed. Yeah. And I know you guys have probably seen the same thing in TV.
Yeah.
We do more with less people.
Yep.
And I think AI is going to contribute to that, too. And that's not necessarily a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
The cool thing about you guys is you're never going to be put out of business. I mean, local news is not – they can't bring in somebody to do local news that's a robot, can they? Maybe.
We
I don't
hope
know.
Not.
Yeah. I think you'd lose a lot.
I would think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so you're pretty secure. Radio, you know, there's a lot of syndicated programming now, and fewer and fewer on-air people. It's and when you're doing talk radio, which we are, is the most expensive format on the air.
Why is that?
Just because it involves a lot of people.
Okay.
But we get around it, you know, and we've made changes, and certainly the equipment has changed. I literally used to cut tape. Where you take a little razor blade and you had a little thing that you put the tape in and you'd cut it. You'd mark it with a, I guess it was some kind of powder or something, and you'd cut it and then you'd splice it together. And it took forever. Now you can do that in a second.
You can do it on your cell phone if you need it,
absolutely. You can make a movie on your cell phone. So how do you guys feel
about it? Some reporters use their phones in the field to film interviews or video or whatever.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And the quality is great.
Sometimes the quality is better than the cameras. Yeah,
And we use videos that viewers send us all the time, you know, from wherever they send us videos, and we use those. And sometimes you can't tell that it's a cell phone video.
Does it worry you future-wise? You guys are young.
Oh, yeah.
Does it?
Worries me.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel. I don't know. Maybe I haven't made up my mind.
What you were saying, doing more with less people.
Yes,
fewer people.
We feel that for sure. Mm-hmm. And I mean, we're kind of a good example of that. Like, we're anchors, but we're out in the field every day reporting. That's not how it used to be.
I was going
to
say that wasn't the old way, was it?
No. Yeah. So, like, when we get out of this podcast, we'll have to go, you know, do some interviews and put together a story.
And do you have to come up with the story?
Or depends on the day, I would say.
Do you have, like, an assignment editor or somebody that says go to this and cover this?
That's one of the positions that's been cut.
Okay.
Yeah. So we used to have the assignment desk, the person that was kind of routing everybody, making sure we weren't missing court appearances or press conferences and things.
Mike, you probably know Mike Taylor. That was his longtime job here. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So now we have a photographer who sits up by the police scanners and kind of does that job for a couple hours each day.
Well, oddly enough, at least in radio, I don't think the listener knows the difference with fewer people, and I don't think they do in TV. I wouldn't know the difference.
Well, thank you.
I mean, everything looks professional and sharp and crisp.
Thank you.
I mean, it really, really does. And I'm sure you have probably fewer on-air people, as in people in the field reporting, and that's why you have to go out and do it?
Yeah.
Yep.
Well, you have a lot of experience. I guess you did, too. See, I knew Evie when she was a reporter.
When she was sleeping in her car.
When she was sleeping in her car.
We go way back.
She was so poor, she was sleeping in her car. Did you do a lot of that in Montana?
Filming your own stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we have, they're called MMJs, multimedia journalists. We have those here at LEX18. The reporters who go out and film all their own stuff, edit their own stuff. That's a grind.
Right, yeah.
That is a hard job.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
See, I'd love to see all that sometime.
We should do a field trip.
We should shadow somebody.
Maybe, that's fascinating.
Maybe that can be your next career path.
I think we have a summer internship program, Jack.
Sign me up.
I think you'd be really good at that.
Yeah.
we have a lot to talk about still with your side hustle, but I do want to ask, what do you think has contributed to your show's success over 50 years?
Time, I think.
No, seriously.
I'm not trying to be funny. I think people are habitual.
Mm-hmm.
They listen. We do everything the same way every day. You don't realize it, but you do in order.
Yeah.
And you brush your teeth the same way and all that. And, man, when you get to be a habit, that's when you got them.
That's when you know you've made it.
Yeah, and when people get mad at me, which, believe it or not, sometimes they do, and they say, I will never listen to you again, there are, like, number one listeners. Because they want to see if I say anything about it, you know.
If you say anything that offends them.
Exactly.
Yeah. You probably...
Do you guys get people griping about...
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Really?
Yeah.
On Facebook
and they can be
and
very
email.
Nasty, right?
Yes, very critical.
Do you have haters?
I think that's so sad.
Yeah.
You have some haters?
Oh, yeah.
Do they contact you regularly?
Oh, yeah. Well, I've kind of run them off because... No, seriously, I've thought about it. I thought about it for a long time because my skin's not that thick.
Yeah, mine's not either.
And so somebody criticizes me, or I really take it pretty seriously.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, life is too short for that. And it took me to 73 to figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
But just don't worry about it.
Yeah.
You know, be you. Be yourself. And that's good enough or it's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure for every negative comment you get 20 people who say, hey, I wake up and listen to you every morning. Or, you know, I feel like I know you even though I haven't met you.
I know you guys get it even more than I do because they know what you look like. But, I mean, really. But isn't that a nice feeling?
It is. Yep.
I do get it. Mm-hmm. And people will a lot of times say, I know you're tired of hearing this, and I say,
no.
Keep it coming.
Bring it on.
That never gets old, seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, to connect with the viewers and the listeners, I mean, that's what we're trying to do.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Definitely.
Well, it's a beautiful broadcasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is a beautiful profession.
Yeah.
Can we talk about Bill Mech real quick before we get into your side gig?
No, I don't want to talk about Bill Mech.
Well, you've known him for a long time.
Yeah. I know a lot of stuff that I really can't say on the air.
The mic is hot.
I forgot.
The tea, Jack.
No, I actually don't. But
when did you meet Bill?
When he came to town. I remember when he was catapulted to stardom from a horrible storm that we had, the tornadoes that went. I did my side gig there the other night out on Leestown Road. What's the subdivision?
Masterson Station.
And he was standing there telling you if you live, I mean, it was, you guys, like, had just gotten your new whirly bird, whatever the heck it is. And the other stations didn't have that capability. Mm-hmm. And he was literally saying, I'm not making this up. If you live on so and so street, it's coming your way.
Yeah.
It was that precise.
And all of a sudden, Bill Mech was the deal. And he didn't want to become famous for that.
Yeah.
It just happened that he did, but you know, because of somebody else's misfortune. But Bill's real serious about it when it comes to the weather. He likes to goof around. And if Bill's goofing around on the air, there's nothing going on. And I've always said Mech is best when there's nothing going on. Because if you got nothing going on, you got to be on your toes.
You got to tap dance a little bit.
Exactly.
Show off that personality.
Exactly. You guys always have something. The sports people probably always have something. Yeah. Weather guy.
Not always.
You know, what if you're a weatherman in San Diego and it's 70 and clear every day?
What do you talk about?
Got to have a big personality.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I will brag on Bill for a sec. I give him a hard time during the show just because,
he told me that you guys have a really nice.
We do.
He did tell me that.
We
he
do. Said, I love teasing Bill and Larry, and I know that the feeling is mutual. But when there is severe weather, no one takes it as seriously as Bill. He's in early. He doesn't leave the station. And I've heard him take calls from viewers and people before, and the way that he talks to them to calm their nerves. Lauren Miner, she was an anchor here last year. She left. They had a big storm up where she lives in Northern Kentucky, and her toddler was scared. And Bill got on the phone with the toddler and said it's going to be okay.
Yeah.
And,
oh, wow.
That's the sign of a really good meteorologist. So, yeah.
Well, and Bill's also the first to, people might not realize, well, they probably do because they're watching, but Bill takes the Christmas shift. And not every chief meteorologist has to do that. You know, he does that so people can be home with their families. And
How nice.
Yeah, so I've always admired. He's the first to step up, you know.
Don't talk anymore about
his head's going to be. Yeah. All right.
We're Bill Mac fans, though.
Let's move on.
Okay. We're also fans of Santa.
Me too.
How did you get into that side hustle?
When I was in the fourth grade, I was the only fat kid with a beard. And
with a beard already?
Oh, yeah. I started shaving real young.
Are you messing with us?
And,
early puberty.
And I got, the only grade in school that I was the teacher's pet. I was the teacher's pain in the you know what in every other grade. But my teacher loved me. And so I got to play the part of Santa in the Christmas play.
In
the fourth grade. And I had so much fun. I thought, this is back when you used something called spirit gum. If you got it under your nose, which you had to have to stick your mustache on, it was the nastiest, just like putting glue on your face. Ooh. It was so uncomfortable, and that beard was made out of some kind of...
Yeah.
And so, but I liked it. But I liked the attention, and I love going to... The way my mother explained to me when there is a Santa on every corner in every store, that there's only one real one that can't be everywhere all the time. And so these others are helpers, and they're work for him.
Yeah,
right.
The real one was in the basement of Purcell's department store on Main Street, according to me.
Okay.
And so that's where I would always have my picture taken. So I just had a real warm... It's just, I love kids, and sometimes they say almost prophetic things that make you go, I can't believe he just said. I had a child this year that said, I've got a question for you. And when they're in the age that they're, I know I got to be careful here, when they're in the age of questioning, usually they're a pain.
Sure.
Because they're going to go, what's my name? What's my elf name? You know.
What's my elf name?
What's the third year? And you got to think.
Yeah. They're keeping you on your toes.
Anyway, this kid said, I would like to ask you a question. And his mother just pulled him away. Uh-huh. And we had some more kids that were in his family. And he jumped back in. And he said, do I have autism?
Wow.
How do you answer that?
That's a tough one.
How did you answer that?
I didn't have to. She scurried him away. But I thought about it since. And these are stories that I think about. Mm-hmm. I don't walk away and go, okay, that's done. That's a job. And I thought, if she had left him there, what should I say? And I think I would have said, it doesn't make any difference.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's, I hope that's what I would have said.
Yeah.
You know, but I've got a lot of really deep stories like that that will just make you cry if you'd like to spend Christmas really down.
Have you ever teared up?
Emo Christmas is what we'll call.
I would say, has there ever been, a child that, you know, like broke your heart?
Broke your heart, yeah. Had a little girl that wanted a bed.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That kind of gives you some perspective.
It puts it right in perspective. And you don't have to go, as I know you know, very far to see people that are way worse off than you are.
Yeah.
And when you want to have a bad attitude, just listen to some of these kids.
Yeah. Well, and you know, you might not necessarily think that the Santa Claus at the mall or wherever is hearing these things, but I think kids trust that.
That's right.
If they ask Santa for something or bring something to him, he can do something about it.
Right.
So,
exactly. Yeah. And I had a woman who said, Santa, this is a grown woman, and she was serious. She said, Santa, my dad's having pretty serious surgery today.
Wow.
And she said, I don't know if he's going to live through it. Could you please pray for him? And I thought, well, I've never prayed over anybody in my life. Never been asked to. I've always gone to church. And I'm standing on a stage with a whole bunch of kids running around, and I I prayed for him.
Oh.
Because that's what you do. And I don't.
Yeah.
That sounds kind of arrogant, like I'm.
No,
I'm not bragging on myself at all. I've never done that before, and I'm sure it was an awkward, weird prayer. But boy, I hope God was listening.
Mm-hmm.
Well, sure, and I think some people they just need to articulate what's going on in their head, and there is that element of trust, and there's somebody up there that put you in the right place at the right time for that woman to feel a little bit of calm. And so, I think that's really special.
I have a friend named Paul Prather. He's a religion writer and the Lexington Herald leader, and he's just the smartest guy I know in the whole world. He has a little church over in Mount Sterling, but he and his wife were just brilliant people. And I called him and told him that story because I thought he might get a kick out of it, thinking of me praying over something. And he said, that's a ministry. And I never thought of it that way. But maybe it is.
Yeah.
In certain instances.
I would agree
with
that.
But I tell you what, when you've got people that have that kind of confidence in you, you better have your act together.
Well, one thing I really admire is that you're like the real deal Santa.
I try to be. I had a guy that I thought was the best in the world, and I still think that he is. His name is Brady White. And Brady went to Los Angeles to be an actor. Didn't have a beard. Went to Los Angeles, was going to be a successful actor, and couldn't get a job. He was working in a restaurant waiting tables. He said, I was that far from moving back to Rhode Island and doing something else. And he said, I saw an ad in the Los Angeles Times. They were looking for a Santa Claus for the Beverly Hills Mall.
Ooh.
And he thought, that sounds kind of cool.
Yeah.
So he went over and applied and got the job. Well, you know, he had to have the, what they call, designer beard.
Ooh,
well,
the designer fancy
beard. Yeah, it sounds better than fake beard.
Sure.
So maybe you guys sometimes are doing designer news. He was so good because he was an actor.
Yeah.
That he got a big write-up in the L.A. Times. They sent out a bunch of kids to different places to see where the best Santa in Los Angeles was, and he won. Well, Burt Bacharach, the composer, had at the time the biggest Christmas party in Los Angeles. Everybody who was anybody was invited and came. He said, if he's the best Santa Claus, I got to have him for my party. So he hired Brady White.
Wow.
And his first Christmas party that he ever did, I seen pictures. He had Jay Leno sitting on his lap. He had everybody who was anybody sitting on his lap. And he called himself Santa to the Stars.
Oh, that's
a good name.
He ended up being the spokesperson for Tiffany's and, you know, all these major, when I say spokesperson, the print ad. Because he looked so good. He eventually grew a beard this long. And he looked, I guess, lost him last year.
Oh, wow.
But I got to talk to him on the phone two or three times. And the first thing he told me was, I'm not Santa. I'm an actor. and you think that's funny, but I've met a lot of them.
Yeah.
Who think there's... It's kind of an ego thing?
Yeah.
Who knew?
I went to a convention first year I was in it.
A Santa convention?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That sounds like one heck of a time.
You talk about a bunch of fat, egotistical. Oh, my God. And then we went to a lunch outside, and they served ribs.
With the beards?
With the beard. It was the grossest thing you've ever seen.
Ew.
I was about ready to throw up. Bones, you know, hanging. There were a lot of guys that really thought they were a big deal. And there are a lot of people that spend a lot of money on, and I do too, on costuming. That's not for the kids.
Yeah.
It's for themselves.
Totally.
And to a point, the parents.
Sure.
Because they notice all those little details. Kid doesn't know if you've got patent leather shoes on. Couldn't care less.
Yeah.
Well, I saw your patent leather. I saw the shoes. Nice. They were pretty nice.
I'm kind of proud of them.
In your eyes, what makes a good Santa?
Heart. That's all.
Yeah.
You can have a $30 suit and a fake beard, designer beard. And if you care about those kids, it's all you need.
What should a Santa never do?
Never tell a child, yes, I'll bring that to you.
Ooh. That's a, I,
because
I might
you
have
never
promised
know.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
I will, my common response is we'll do the best we can.
That's a good, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I've also figured out, and I figured this out on my own, when they ask for a pony or mm-hmm. A dog or a cat, mm-hmm. we don't make them. And they go,
oh, that's a, oh, that's good.
Yeah.
We make toys.
Right.
Animals have to come from somewhere else.
Yeah, you had to take that
and
up
I
with tell, mom and dad.
I don't know how many dads I've seen that went.
There you go. We should probably put a disclaimer, too, on this episode, not for kids.
You know, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. Can you do that?
I don't know how many kids are listening to
that. They're probably
not.
But
yeah, we
just
should
in
do
case.
That.
It's an adult.
I think that's a great idea.
Not adult content.
Everybody's going to think, what did they talk about?
Just, we don't want to ruin anything.
That's going to get some serious listeners.
Well, I will say, since no kids listen, I believed in Santa for a long, long time. I was the oldest. And
how old were you when you?
I was probably 12.
I was 12.
Were you 12?
Yeah.
So, and I remember, I'll never forget, and I'm still friends with her to this day, and I don't think I've ever told her this, but I had little sisters, and my friend from school came to my house and said, your little sisters know Santa's not real, right? And I was like, what?
Did it break your heart?
It did. I was okay, I think, after a while, but I really believed. And my husband also, this is why we ended up together, because his mom told me.
So you were still believing when you got married.
We do. We wait up for him. No, my mother-in-law told me that when my husband found out that Santa wasn't real, he was verklempt, very sad. And he said, I feel like I just lost my best friend.
Oh, I understand.
So I think we're sensitive. We are sensitive when it comes to Santa.
What was your experience?
Well, I have older siblings. I don't really
remember. Did they ruin it for you?
I don't think they did intentionally, but I think I was always hanging out with, like, my brothers, mm-hmm. their friend, older kids were around, and, like, I wanted to be in on the secret. So I think the first time I heard it, I was like, yeah, that checks out. Okay. All right.
So really, it didn't emotionally affect you?
No, not
too
that
bad.
I recall.
Well, that's okay.
Yeah,
there's no right or wrong way to deal with that. But I understand you too, because I was upset. My mother sat me down and said there was a man by the name of Chris Kringle mm-hmm. that lived in Germany mm-hmm. who did really nice things.
Yep.
Oh, she started, I think, maybe with St. Nicholas mm-hmm. and then moved up to Chris Kringle and then to modern day Santa Claus. And it was a real person.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just celebrating love
mm-hmm.
and giving with no intent of receiving anything,
mm-hmm.
you know, giving without intention other than giving somebody something and making them happy.
I think Santa's kind of an attitude.
Oh,
you know,
it's completely.
I like
that's
that.
I think that might be a book title.
Santa is an attitude.
Maybe we can write a book together.
Okay.
Let's do
Santa
it.
Santa is an attitude.
Yeah.
Okay.
A children's book, maybe.
Yeah.
That would be cute.
I got a guy that can illustrate it. Oh, do I ever? Yeah.
Maybe we should. Mm. Yeah.
The creative
next year.
Juices are
Let's
flowing.
Let's shoot for next year.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Speaking of next year, Jack Patty, we are nearing 2026. What are you looking forward to in the new year?
Getting up every morning. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have any great grandiose plans, but people ask me all the time, when are you going to quit? And I always say, when are you going to retire?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I say, retire to what? I mean,
yeah.
I know what I would do. I would sit in front of the computer all day and go down rabbit holes about unimportant stuff and eat. I would weigh 800 pounds.
Mm.
They'd have to bring the fire department in to get me out of the house. And I mean, seriously,
you know
yourself
well.
I know myself really mm-hmm. well. And so I want to keep going until they either carry me out or hopefully I'll walk out.
But,
you're not going anywhere.
As long as I can.
I know I said you are oldest guest, but you have a young.
So you're admitting. So now she's admitting that's what she's going to say.
But you have a young energy, a youthful
energy that I think
radiates.
Thank you.
And your Facebook posts always make me laugh.
Thank you. See, that's, it's just like when you said, somebody says, I watch you on TV and you really do a good mm-hmm. job. What you just said makes me feel that way.
Aww.
I have people that say, I got first thing I do, again, going mm-hmm. back to habit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Is see what you posted today.
Well, it's always light and funny, and you need that to break up
totally.
Sometimes
your Facebook
it's not.
Feed.
I posted something yesterday that I probably shouldn't have, but I just got angry at the president.
Sure.
And I try to really stay away from
politics.
Mm-hmm. I don't like politics. Mm-hmm. We had a general manager one time. We had a bunch of them when Cumulus bought the station. And he said, I'm going to take you to lunch. And we went to lunch, and I was a little bit scared. I thought maybe he was going to fire me or something. And he said, What do you bring to the station? What's your gift?
Your gift.
I said, well, I guess I do endorse a lot of products. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking in terms, because that's the way they think. Mm-hmm. I said, I guess I'm pretty good at endorsing pricing. I said, no, I'm not talking about that. What's your gift? I said, I don't know how to answer it. He said, I get that you're not really into sports. And I said, no, I really am not. I enjoy watching mm-hmm. the games, but I'm no expert. And he said, I get the idea that you're not into politics. I said, not at all. Don't even like politics. Uh-huh. I'm a registered independent. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, so what do you got? I said, I don't know. Tell me. And he said, you're funny. Yeah. And I said, oh, okay, thank you. And he said, why aren't you on the air funny?
What the heck?
Yeah.
Oh, that's kind of a dagger.
That's pretty serious. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it made me think a lot.
Yeah.
And I changed a little bit after that, and actually for the better. Sometimes, mm-hmm. We're getting so deep.
That's okay.
Sometimes
that's
things,
what we do here on Hot Mic.
Yeah, well, sometimes the things that seem kind of tragic end mm-hmm. up being positives for mm-hmm. you. Just like the move to the south mm-hmm. end of town mm-hmm. got me my first job on the radio. This guy, who I just came away from that lunch hating his guts.
Yeah.
Taught me a little lesson.
Sure.
He says, I hear you goofing around with people in the hall mm-hmm. and everybody laughs at you, but I don't hear you doing it on the air.
And he wanted more of that.
He wanted more of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, I like that. I think people need that.
Totally.
They need that levity a little bit from time to time. But also, hey, on the Facebook post, sometimes you got to get real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's okay, too.
And you guys do a really nice job, both of you, walking that line, and it's a real thin line because you have the credibility. I don't have to worry about credibility. I don't have any credibility, but you have to walk the line between credibility mm-hmm. and being human.
Totally.
And like like you're talking about Bill, goofing around with him and having fun. Mm-hmm. But like you said too, Bill doesn't goof around when the weather's mm-hmm. important.
Yeah.
And you don't goof around when there's a tragic story in the news, and mm-hmm, you don't either.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
So you just have to be very mindful of
absolutely
of that.
Yeah.
We could talk to you all day, Jack, but
and you said that you didn't think you'd be good for this. Can you believe that?
He was self-conscious.
Robert, how long have we been chit-chatting?
It's a long one. And almost an hour?
I know. Our longest episode.
So am I going to get edited?
No, actually, no. That's the beauty of podcasts is that you can just go and go and go.
We don't even need any bleeps.
I almost want to say a bad word.
will ruin Robert's day.
It would also ruin my reputation.
Well, no, you just said you had no credibility, might as well.
Yeah.
You guys are fun.
We'll have to hang back. How about
right
back that?
I'd love to.
This was really fun.
That would be wonderful.
Got me in the Christmas spirit, ready for the new year.
And I had never met you before, so this was such a delight.
Well, it's like you said, I feel like I've known you since mm-hmm. you've been in town because I watch you every night.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, if I'm home, I'm watching your 6 o'clock.
Well, I so appreciate that.
Sometimes people will come up to me and they go, I listen to you every afternoon.
That's so funny. I get that. People tell me I watch you every morning. And
people
I'm like,
confuse us sometimes, too. Yeah.
Like, I don't really know that you
look so
do.
Much alike.
It's the brunette.
Yeah.
The Hoosier in our
Hoosier and the Montana.
Uh-huh.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Vibe.
The vibe.
It's a vibe.
Well, you're the vibe, Jack Patty. Yes. And thank you so much for taking time out of your very busy holiday schedule. I know you got a lot of things going on.
Thank you.
This was awesome.
It was fun.
And we'll get you back on the pod.
Yeah. Thank you, Jack.
Thank you.
Send her home, Abby.
All right, everyone.
Thank
you for listening, watching our final episode of 2025, right? I'm in the right year. Yeah, it's 2026 next year. Jack Patty, thank you so much. Everyone,
so welcome.
We'll see you next week.